A high-stakes drama of law, science, and money has been playing out in a Boston federal courtroom this month. It's a patent battle over immunotherapy, the revolutionary new type of cancer treatment that unleashes the body's own immune system. Immunotherapy is looking like the most promising advance against cancer in decades, and the patents on the science behind it could be worth billions. WBUR Common Health reporter Kerry Goldberg has details.
It's not the kind of trial that draws TV cameras outside the courthouse. But make no mistake, this is a legal clash between giants. Giants of science, that is. On one side is Dr. Tasuku Honjo from Kyoto University, a 77-year-old researcher who just shared in a Nobel Prize for his work on immunotherapy. In his Nobel lecture this December, he said he hopes that immunotherapy will one day transform cancer treatment, the way antibiotics have transformed treatment for infections.
Cancer may not completely disappear, but be controlled by immunotherapy. Cancer may become one of the chronic diseases. If you still have a tumor, but no growth, that's okay.
On the other side is Dana-Farber Cancer Institute researcher Dr. Gordon Freeman, a Harvard Medical School professor and immunotherapy pioneer who's won major prizes himself, though not the Nobel. In a recent interview unconnected to the trial, he describes the current excitement around immunotherapy.
Everyone wants to work in the area because it's so important. Really, the best and the brightest scientists and the most innovative, cutting-edge technologies are being applied to the problems of immunotherapy.
That's now. But the focus of the trial at the Moakley Federal Courthouse is nearly 20 years ago, when some of the basic science that led to immunotherapy was done. At the center of the case are a half dozen key patents that list Honjo and Japanese colleagues as inventors, but not Freeman and another American colleague. Dana-Farber, the plaintiff in the suit, is arguing that the Americans should be included on those patents, that they made significant contributions. Dr. Honjo's side includes the pharma giant Bristol-Myers Squibb, which now holds the licenses that control use of those patents. Honjo himself took the stand for many hours of firm and sometimes slightly testy testimony. He argues that no, he got no significant help from his American colleagues. One thing is sure, the stakes are high.
The patents that are currently issued to Professor Honjo are probably worth billions of dollars.
Professor Jake Shirko at New York Law School is a leading expert on patent disputes in the life sciences. He says the patents at issue here cover several immunotherapy drugs that are each selling for a couple of billion dollars a year.
We've got Keytruda, we've got Opdivo, we've got Libtayo, we've got Tecentriq, we've got Bavencio, we've got Imfinzi. All of these drugs are, if not blockbuster drugs, at least pretty close to it. So that's what this dispute is all about.
Except this case is not only about money, Shirko says, and it's an unusually ugly fight related to Nobel Prize-winning work.
It goes directly towards issues of scientific credit, honesty, and reliability. So those things combined, if you add money to the mix, it makes a particularly potent poison.
The suit is so scientifically complex that presiding Chief Judge Patty Saris jokingly complained that she's buried under loose-leaf binders of exhibits. They include handwritten pages from lab notebooks, science journal papers, slide presentations, and tutorials on immunology. The story begins back in the early 90s, when Dr. Honjo discovered a molecule called PD-1 on the surface of immune cells called T cells. It seemed important, but what it did and how it worked wasn't clear. In late 1999, Honjo started working with Freeman at Dana-Farber and another scientist at a Cambridge biotech company on a related molecule the two Americans had pinpointed. It's called PD-L1. PD-1 and PD-L1 work together, Freeman explains with a metaphor.
Well, think of PD-L1 as your foot pushing down on the brake pedal. PD-1 is the brake pedal.
Cancer can take advantage of those brakes to protect itself against immune attack. To outwit it, immunotherapy uses antibodies that lift your foot, so to speak, so it can't press the brake that would protect the tumor from attack. Immunotherapy drugs that use this PD-1 pathway are now prescribed against many types of cancers, including lung cancer, and they're being tested in many combinations as well. So who deserves credit on the patents for this breakthrough? Testimony at the trial has focused heavily on the exchange of biological materials and unpublished data between the American and the Japanese researchers. The legal crux of the case is how significant the American side's contributions were to the work that led to the patents. One lawyer compares it to deciding who gets credit for completing a jigsaw puzzle that includes many pieces put in by multiple players. It's the sort of dispute we can expect to see more of, says Dr. Jeffrey Flyer, the former dean of Harvard Medical School.
Modern science involves collaboration across laboratories, across scientific disciplines, and many end up involving the collaboration with industry as well.
Flyer researches and writes about credit in science.
So the complexity of the scientific papers that come out and the patents and the credit that results is far, far greater than it used to be.
And the financial stakes are higher, says Jake Shirko from New York Law School.
It used to be a rare event to have an invention and a small set of patents that could command billions of dollars. And today, it's just another day in the newspaper.
And that's why legal and industry analysts have been among the spectators watching this battle royale play out. Closing arguments in the Dana-Farber suit are scheduled for next Friday, and it's expected to be months before Judge Saris issues a decision. Given the amount of money at stake, whatever the decision is, it's likely to be appealed. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Carrie Goldberg.